Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for Y-O-U.
And we do praise God for this day, and we thank God for each of you on the call. This is the 30th day of October, and this month is winding down. As a matter of fact, it's going to close out real soon here the next day or so. But we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining us throughout all last week. And here we are, clothed in our right minds, and he has prepared us and allowed us an opportunity to gather around his word. And we thank God that our faith is increasing tonight because we know that the word decrees that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I think I had a post on there, Lady Kim, in your absence, I was trying to figure out a couple of things and ended up hitting the wrong button. But that's why I need my sidekick here at least 15 minutes early so that won't happen in the past. I mean, in the future.
Okay.
All right. That was a joke, but I see that's not funny.
Was that a joke?
Yeah. But we're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter tonight. For those of you who are joining us, let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together. I think there are about 26 verses.
I believe so.
Yep, 26 verses, I believe, in this 25th chapter. Very interesting chapter. 28 verses. And we see another shift in leadership, and we see another leader coming forth. And the dynamics of leadership, I think, is very clear in terms of us processing all of these leaders who have gone through various plans and strategies, trying to please God and trying to rule. And we find some common denominators that are happening in this particular chapter. And I think it speaks clearly to us as leaders even today to be mindful of some of these things so that we won't fall into the same pitfalls of some of these who have gone before us.
Absolutely. And I think that's what the Bible does. It gives us a clear pathway on how we should lead our lives and behave, not only as Christians, but as leaders, if we want to be pleasing in God's eyesight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with prayer. Good to see each of you on. I see we're getting a clear signal. Thank you, Brother Norris. And good to see each of you who are on. And we praise God for those who will hear this particular study later by playback. Let's say a prayer as we prepare to jump into this word, the 25th chapter of 2 Chronicles. God, we're extremely grateful for this day that you have included us in. And we do thank you for our lives at this very moment. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you for how you continue to bless us even in spite of ourselves. We thank you, dear Lord, for how you're sustaining us in the midst of all of the chaos that's happening in our world. And we're certainly grateful that we know you and that you know us. And so, God, we pray now your blessing to be upon us as we engage in this time together of studying your word. You said that our faith would increase because faith indeed cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so now order our steps, lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. Forgive us of our sins, strengthen us, we pray, and allow this word to be a seed and fertile soil unto our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, as we normally do, Lady Kim, let's just kind of start with the weekend. We had another exceptional weekend in terms of activity. We closed out our Institute for Leadership Training with our final workshop around evangelism outreach. And Dr. Qualis did an excellent job in terms of setting up various scenarios for people to get a sense of how they should respond when they are faced with different situations that need to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Sunday was, of course, another great day in the Lord, and we had activities after church, and we did a little outreach even after the workshop on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So just catch us up and tell us, for those who were not present, I see our good friend Dr. John Tunstall out in California watching. He'll be traveling this way this week, and we're looking forward to seeing him. So tell us a little bit about what happened this weekend and what the Lord was saying.
Absolutely. And you talked about the leadership meeting on Saturday, and following the leadership meeting, we went into the neighborhood and canvassed the neighborhood and invited the community out to our Fall Harvest Festival, but not only to our Fall Harvest Festival, but to church.
That's right.
On Sunday at 9:45. And God's outpouring and spirit showed up in a mighty way on yesterday. We had a wonderful time in the Lord. And following the awesome sermon that you preached, we had a family of 10 to come up and join ATOP. And so we thank God for the family of 10 that came forward. Amen.
And I believe four of those were going to be baptized, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's right.
Four of them will be baptized. And so we're just so thankful to God for how he continues to pour into ATOP, how souls are being saved, how people are rededicating. We even had someone to come up and rededicate life following all of that, you know, with the 10 that joined. So we thank God for the commitment and the recommitment and the new commitment of those who came on yesterday. But during our worship service, again, you preached on, you did a part two on There's an Eagle in You. And where you came from the scripture in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, just one verse, the 31st verse, where it talks about, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Okay.
And so you had a couple of points that you really expounded upon, that God shows up when it's not enough. God shows up when it's too late. Or I was thinking, when we think it's too late, because God is never late. And you mentioned that in your sermon. He's never too late and he's never too early. And then the preparation for soaring.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's expected that we wait on the Lord.
All right.
You know, and in our society, we are so used to having things instantaneously. You know, we pop things in the microwave and warm them up. You know, we turn on the computer and news is at our fingertips. And, you know, we pick up our cell phone. We don't have to go to the phone booth anymore or wait until we get home to make a phone call. Booth. So, yeah, that dates
you
me.
You lost probably about 20 people on that one.
I saw something on Facebook the other day, the telephone hanging on the wall, and it said at least we knew where it was.
That right?
So
didn't have to worry about losing it or trying to find it.
No.
It stayed in one place.
We knew where it was. So to God be the glory. But you know. It's expected that we learn how to wait.
Okay.
And so waiting is part of the process. So we have to learn how to wait. That very first part of that scripture said, but those who wait, who wait on the Lord. If we wait on the Lord, not on our time, not on our friend or our family's time. If we wait on the Lord, he's promised that he would renew our strength.
Okay.
Give us the strength that we need in order to go forward. It said we shall mount up with wings as eagles. And then yesterday you did a great job talking about flapping, gliding, and soaring of the birds. Okay. You know, you talked about the hummingbird and how
Do I give myself an A now or do I wait till after you finish?
You give yourself an A every Sunday. No. You give yourself an A plus.
I'm just joking, Reverend. You're taking it to a whole nother level. But no, I understand what you're saying. And that really kind of helped people to get a sense of what that waiting. And I kind of expressed, not to take your mind off, you still have your notes, right? Did your notes come through?
They did.
Okay. You know, sometimes, as I indicated, one of the greatest challenges for the disciple is the discipline of waiting. Mm-hmm. And many times we get in such a hurry, as you've already indicated, trying to get ahead of God, and we're trying to do it in our own time. But, you know, God controls the pace of the promise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that and be clear that he is indeed an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
And so many times it may look like God's not going to show up. It may look like he's not going to appear, but he'll come even at the ninth hour and show himself strong on our behalf.
Amen.
Yeah. So that discipline of waiting, and that's what you said, is one of the requirements, I believe you indicated, for us as believers to make sure that we nurture that discipline of waiting.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And just nurturing the discipline of waiting means that we have to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
impatience,
right,
is something that is so, you know, people just are impatient these days. Sitting at the light, people blowing at you. You know, as soon as the light turned green, they want you to step on the gas right away. Or, you know, they want the checkout clerk to move faster. So, you know, people are just impatient. And in a lot of situations, you know, they need to speed up. But, but you know, even if they went faster, two or three more minutes, you know, wouldn't hurt. But we have to learn how to be patient.
That's right. That's right.
So it's expected that we wait, but we need to wait on the Lord to move. And then you said that we need to speak to ourselves and tell ourselves, eagle, come forth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we wait on other people to encourage us and to pat us on the back and to tell us that we can make it, we can take it. But we have to speak to ourselves sometimes,
mm-hmm,
and say, there's an eagle in me. I'm ready to soar. Eagle, come forth. And so the enemy wants us to believe that there's that our delay means denial.
Okay.
You know, and delay doesn't mean denial. Delay means just that. It means to wait.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean it's not going to come. But again, that comes back to our patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're impatient. We don't want to wait for things. So got to be patient. Our delay is not denial. You talked about how God controls the pace of the promise. And when it's not enough and when it's too late is when God shows up, or when we think it's too late, or when we think it's not enough,
right,
God shows up right on
time.
Well,
tell us a little bit about these birds. You made reference to it, and I just wanted to see what the Lord was saying to you about the hummingbird and about the hawk and about the eagle.
Well, you talked about it. I'm going. I'm
some people
reiterating
didn't.
Your,
some people didn't hear it though. You know, I'm
you
just trying to
about
see
how,
what the Lord said to you in that whole process.
How the hummingbird flaps its wings, you know, and it flaps so fast you can't even see the hummingbird's wings flapping. It flaps so fast,
mm-hmm,
but you know, and how the hummingbird, when he flaps his wing, he's able to stay in one place while
that's
he's
right
flapping. And so just because you're flapping hard doesn't mean you're going anywhere.
Wow, wow.
So in life, you know, make sure you're not doing like the hummingbird and flapping your wings and marking time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's good.
You need to be moving somewhere. And then you talk about how the hawk, when the hawk climbs up, then he begins to glide,
mm-hmm,
on the air, you know. And gliding is just, I guess, in a holding pattern.
Okay.
You know, you just waiting there, waiting on God to do something. And then you talked about soaring like an eagle, when you rise up above your circumstances,
mm-hmm,
and you soar above your circumstances, and you know, and you wait on God, and then God can do an amazing thing in your life.
Okay. That's powerful, because a lot of people expressed that after the sermon how some were in those holding patterns in terms of just sheer exhaustion from just flapping, you
mm-hmm
know, and really not achieving anything. But God still instructs us to wait on him in the
mm-hmm
midst of all of that, and for we can get to the place where we begin to soar like the eagle.
Amen.
Yeah. You remember the story that Dr. Jackson told about the chickens in the yard, and
mm-hmm
how one of the eagles kind of got... I don't know how the eagle...
It was the eaglet that the egg fell out of the nest,
mm-hmm,
into the chicken yard.
And they raised him in the
And they
chicken.
Raised him, and he was hatched among the chickens.
Right.
And so he actually thought he was a chicken.
That's right.
Yeah, and he ate what the chicken ate. Mm-hmm. The chickens ate, and he did what the chickens did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
didn't
until
even think about flying.
No, you know, and so they would flap their wings, you know, but they wouldn't go very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wouldn't rise above the height of the chickens because he thought that's all he could do.
Right.
But one day he looked up and he saw the eagles flying.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as he looked up to see the eagles flying overhead and saw how majestic they were, he spread his wings and he began to flap.
Mm-hmm.
And as he began to rise, he found out that, you know, he could soar just like the eagles.
Okay.
And so really the moral behind the story was, you know, you hanging around too many chickens and eat what the chickens eat and do mm-hmm. what the chickens do, you'll never soar above your potential. You'll never go above where you are. So you have to come from amongst the chickens.
All right.
And begin to soar like an eagle.
That's a good one, Reverend, because people get so caught up in doing what they see others do and don't recognize the eagle mentality that's in them, and they fail to realize that God has given them something on the inside that has a determination built into it that he wants us to soar and not just stay around and on the ground. Mm-hmm. But he wants us to soar above what we're dealing with and what we're going through.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it was awesome. And then following that awesome sermon, of course, the invitation was extended and we had many to come down for prayer, but we had a family who just stepped right out right mm-hmm. away and came down and joined ATOP. And so we're thankful for that.
That's right. That's right. A little bit about the Harvest Fest, and I know our time is getting away from us and we might have to pick some of this up next week, but I think we can summarize this 25th chapter.
Yeah.
But a tremendous job on behalf of those who work with the youth ministry and also our youth advisors and our new youth director as we canvassed the neighborhood and as we went out, ran out of material. And I thank God began to reveal to us that we need to have more than enough than
Amen.
Not have enough. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of people, because it was not verbally or visibly advertised on the board, was it outside?
I believe
on the banner? It was?
On the marquee? Yes, it was.
But we had, what would you say would be the estimate of how many people showed up?
I think we had a couple, about 100, 150 so people, if not more,
mm-hmm.
to show up.
With
yes.
kids and adults.
Yes.
And that's like the parable, and that's like the story in the Bible where they just counted the men, but if they had included the women and children, it would have been much more. We were looking a lot at the kids, but mm-hmm. most of them had parents or they had parental guidance with them. And so we had a different setup. We had games as well as activities, and then we had a sign up so that they could follow up with those who came. And the movie was not available because
it was too light.
Too light
outside.
Yeah.
Yes, we couldn't see the movie on the screen, and we could only see the shadows. You know, the dark, the lightest spots in the movie. So we couldn't show our movie. But you know what the hit of the Fall Harvest Festival
what was? The hayride.
The hayride. People are still talking about the hayride. One of our members brought a tractor and with a flatbed with haystacks, and we sat on that and rode over the property around ATOP. It was fun. We had a ball.
Yeah.
And the kids enjoyed it, and it was just awesome. So we thank Brother Mark for the hayride. It was some kind of awesome.
It was a great day, and the whole weekend was exceptional. And I know this weekend we have the ordination coming. Dr. Aqualis did an excellent job in closing out the final module. We have the graduation of those who have completed the Institute for Leadership Training, some 16 weeks. And it went by kind of fast, in my opinion, but I don't know if they maybe feel the same, but we praise God for the leadership of all of those who participated in making those modules come to pass, and making sure that we were able to really process that for our leaders. Let us know. Somebody text us and let us know you're still with us. Look like we're having some technical difficulties. The screen is freezing, and so we want to make sure that y'all are still able to capture our study for tonight. But we're going to go ahead and keep moving. Somebody just give us a text and say, Pastor, y'all still on. We can hear you because our screens are freezing here on this end. But we praise God for each of you. We're in the 25th chapter of 2 Chronicles tonight, and we're looking forward to continuing to move through this time together. Look like we're losing our audience, Lady Kim. Has anybody texted you yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. And so in this particular 25th chapter, we see another leadership shift, if you will, another change, another leader taking the reins. And this is one of the sons of, who was that who had preceded him? Was it, who was the king before him?
Joash's
son is now taking the leadership of Judah, and how he's in the process now of trying to establish himself in the kingdom, and he's also in the process of trying to make his reputation known and trying to get his people lined up and trying to follow the plan that God has given him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen. Yes. And as you stated, we can probably sum this chapter up because it follows a familiar pattern of a king coming into onto the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Either he's a good king or he's a bad king.
Okay.
Either he's a king that follows after God or he's a king that follows after idol gods.
Mm-hmm.
He's either a king that tears down the idol gods or a king that begins to worship idol gods. And so we see another repetitive pattern here in the reign of Amaziah.
Okay. And so, as you just indicated, Lady Kim, in the summary, if we summarize it, he was really thirsty for God in the beginning, and he was willing to follow the mandate and try to live by the ordinances that God had set in place. And he was trying to be obedient and trying to do what God would have him to do. But He ended up worshiping idol gods as well. And as a result of that, that was his downfall in terms of him not being able to complete the assignment that God had given him. Even though he reigned for, I think they said, for 29 years. So he had good success in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then some things happened in terms of him not listening and following proper instruction and not being obedient to what the prophets were sharing with him in terms of what God was speaking to them. And so he ended up getting killed because of a conspiracy that of him following after other gods and got ran out of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that in the end, he began to worship these other gods with a little g. What are we saying?
They're saying it's not working. It just it's cutting in and out and then repeating, and then it just cut completely off. This is the streaming side.
Okay.
So there must be something wrong with the streaming.
Okay. Well, we probably, I don't know how you have that set up right there.
I just went like that. I don't know.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's just started from the beginning again because it's talking about October.
Oh, okay.
See, this month mm-hmm. closing out. So that is the beginning of the Bible study is starting over.
Oh, okay.
So you want to just continue on or you want to try to...
We can reset it and see.
Okay.
Yeah, you go ahead and push it and turn it off and then we'll